Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Culture Power Thinking Ross podcast. I'm back in with Dr. Nikki Small, and she'll be talking about one of her other adventures in her time that she's worked for Culture Power Thinking Ross, which is filmmaking. Now, previously, Nikki has been the local family history officer. She's currently a project officer for the City Hall project and is also a musician with the group Played Song. But today, I'm going to be talking to Nikki about how she got into filmmaking for Culture Power Thinking Ross. Nikki.
Well, yeah, it's great fun. We made three short films a few years ago now, a couple of years ago, but it was really one of the best experiences I've had in my job as local history officer. It really shows how working in libraries and archives and museum services really just brings up some fantastic opportunities. And you jump at them, you take the chance to do something different, and I learn new things, new skills, and I met a lot of lovely people.
So how did this process then come about? What happened there?
Well, initially the museum was working on a new gallery. They were refurbishing one of their galleries to tell the story of Perth. And everyone on the team was working on a timeline to put together key events and to try to take people through the development of Perth over the ages. And of course, this was huge. You know, you're going from the prehistory right up to more recent events, and it was obviously trying to figure out how to do that in a space. So part of the gallery experience was going to be a short film. I mean, you can always fit so much in the gallery. So they thought if they had a film showing different things, that would be quite nice. So a film would augment what was on display and tell other parts of the city story. And so this was also a way everyone who was working on the exhibition sort of wanted to explore the town, film on location, and also use images and material from our collection. And we hoped then that we'd encourage people who would come into the exhibition and see it in the gallery to go out into the town and explore a wee bit more for themselves.
So how did you get involved in this content to begin with? Because I've seen the film, it's on YouTube as well, and you're actually in it. How did you end up being in front of the camera?
Well, I was working with the archives team at that point, and of course that's part of the whole collections across museums, galleries, libraries and archives, and we all got together. So I was taken in to talk about content, what we could put in the film and what the timeline would be. But we had to work up a brief in order to get a professional media company to do this work for us, because it's quite specialised work and it's not something we could do ourselves, at that time. And the people who were going to make the film for us turned out to be Keith Bank Media. They're a local firm from Blairgowrie. Pete Moran and Kelly McIntyre got a lot of experience. Kelly's a fabulous photographer as well. So we met them as a whole group, a team project meeting. And for my part, I was talking through some of the events and stories that we wanted to feature in the film, hopefully. And then the discussion around the table sort of got around to doing a voiceover, because we would need a sort of professional, slant to that as well. Maybe an actor to present. And then everyone had ideas on people they could maybe engage. But then Pete called me the next day, and it was one of those moments when I kind of thought, this is weird, I know what he's going to say before he says it. And he basically said he could see how enthused I was just chatting to them and how much I knew already about the stories we wanted to present. So perhaps I could be on camera and actually present. And I just said, yeah, that was great fun. But I did have to have a proper screen test. They took me out to make sure I didn't mess it up and not look great at all. So and I did okay. So and that was that. So that solved the problem as well. And it helped me with the budget too, because we didn't have to engage someone when I was already on the project. So it was great.
Now that's quite interesting how that came about. So what happened next? Like, how did you go through that process then?
Well, initially, we, and I'm talking about the whole wider project team, we went through the stories and events and we chose those we thought could do a number of things. The main thing within the film was that the film related to what was going on in the gallery, obviously, the wider exhibition. And that obviously all the material, the objects, the art, the maps, archive documents, everything that we use would be in our collections. And so everything had to relate to that. And one of the other key aspects was that we wanted to share stories and tell people something that would lead them to somewhere, to see what we were actually talking about. So the Perth film included Perth's medieval history, for instance, and of course folk can visit St John's Kirk. They can find out more there, or they can walk down our old venals, which are all there still to see, and they can visit our inches, our bridges, they can go out and explore George and Perth and our streets, and also just go a bit further afield, maybe places like Scone Palace, where the kings of Scotland were crowned. So it was really important to us that people, as I say, could see something in the gallery that showed them something more about their own local area. So it had to be driven by the story, I had to be driven by the collections, but also with that kind of wider heritage cultural thing in mind.
So this is when you kind of put together a script for the full thing.
Yeah. Pete and Kelly helped with all of this, the way they work. And we had the ideas, we thought about what we wanted to say, and then we set it out in a kind of chronological way and think about the connections. And the next step then was to go to various locations. And Pete and Kelly did this with me in tow. So we all saw what the location was like, where the filming was going to be possible at all. Other things come into it then that you don't realise that the film team bring to it, you know, what kind of light, you know, whether it's really noisy, you know, whether a particular street's lovely, but in fact it's raging with traffic all the time. So, you know, they have all these ideas. And then you have a filming plan, you know, you complete the script, you work out what you're going to say, and then basically you kind of wait for decent weather and get out there.
So what was that like being out on location, like doing all that filming? It sounds very glamorous.
Glamorous. It's great fun. I think we were a pretty good team, actually. We got on really well. Keith Bank were really lovely, really professional. Pete has got years of experience. He worked with big TV companies and huge projects. He's travelled all over the world. And Kelly's a brilliant photographer as well. So they're a really close team as well. They're very good. Pete's also got a real interest in history too. So he was really enthused, because if he got interested in the history and the stories we were talking about, he was like, yeah, this is great. People will like this. So that was good, because we really chatted through how folk might react to the films and what parts of the story to really emphasise. So that was great. And there is a lot of groundwork, especially for filming in places, because sometimes we would need to ask permission to film in some places. We had to approach Scone Palace and you know, we don't just turn up. You know, you have to make sure that you've got your permissions. And of course, we also included interviews. I'm not the only person on the film, you know, that we did interviews with historical experts. So we needed to set these up too, because that's always interesting, seeing somebody that is a wee expert in their field. And we have to meet people on location and get them all ready to film and interview.
So were people that are in the film, were they keen to be involved, or were they a bit anxious to be involved?
it's quite a funny thing, isn't it? Yeah, but some folk were absolutely great. Like, for instance, our own curator, Mark Hall, he's fab. He features in two of our films, and he's always happy to come along and chat on camera, and hugely knowledgeable about the early history, medieval stuff. You know, he's great. So, and he puts that across well. So some other people were very interesting as well. We had great chats before filming started, working out what people knew and how to get that bit captured on film. That's the tricky part, that sometimes people say in a casual chat something you think, oh, you know, that'd be great to get on camera. So, and some people were a wee bit nervous. Camera work makes people a bit shy. They're kind of scared they're going to get it wrong. And in fact, we can always retake bits if it doesn't work out right. So sometimes people would talk for a wee while and we'd say, let's do that wee bit again and we'll chat about it. So it was great. It was good fun.
So going back to, we were talking about a script earlier, did you work to an actual script then?
We scripted my pieces to camera, and luckily I'm quite happy to learn my lines as well. So that was that saved us having any bother with reading lines from anywhere or working that up. And there's always, when you're doing work like this, there's always a lot of waiting about, just for things to be right, getting things set up. Sometimes waiting for a bit of quiet. We actually, in our second film at Kinross and Lochleven, we went out to the castle on the island at Lochleven, and we took the boat out. They actually, Historic Scotland, gave us a boat when we got there, and they knew what we were doing. They were like, no, take the boat, here's the boat. And we did all this stuff. It was great. And we arrived on the island and got ourselves off and our kit and all the rest of it. But that actually, the island looked really quiet. There was nobody there at the jetty. And the next thing we knew, we thought, this is great, peace and quiet, we can film. And the next thing we knew, because the boat had arrived, people thought that they were having to get off the island. So they all came out from all over the place. So peace and quiet was lost. All these people descended on us, and now there's kids jumping around and folk asking questions. So we just had to, you know, people are really nosy when you're filming. They think you're the news, you know, they wonder what's going on. So we had a good chat with people and engaged. But we usually end up getting more stories then and ideas of places once we chat with local folk. But it's great, because we actually get a chat with visitors and local people, so you're telling them what you're doing, and then hopefully they're looking out for what you've got and what you're doing, and it's great fun.
So this was the first film, or sorry, this was the first short film, and it was a short history of Perth. And then you made two more. And how did they come about? What were they made for?
Well, the first one was Perth, and then everyone really liked the project work, and we were asked by other people within other departments and things and other places to do more, and we decided we would try to get funding. It was the most important thing, to get funding to do films for other areas in Perth and Kinross, and that was the one at Lochleven and Kinross, and also Highland Perthshire. So, and our service, covers more than just the city. So Perthshire, why we wanted to make films to look at the history in other areas, and again stick to those principles in the first film. What story are we telling? How does that fit with what we've got in our collections? And can people visit the places and find out more for themselves? We do a lot of partnership working in CPK, so we'd contacted people to feature in our first film. We had a guest speaker from the Black Watch Museum, our own curators, Mark Hall, like I say, Scone Palace. But this is what we try to do, and join up our heritage providers and friends in the sector.
Yeah, that's one thing that I love about the heritage sector is everybody's kind of keen to really work together. And the other two films were about the Kinross area and about Highland Perthshire. And so why were these made
Well,
the
we've
choices?
got some really great contacts in the Kinross area. I mean, part of the library, the campus library at Kinross, houses the local museum, and so they work really closely with us on lots of things. And in particular, a chap called Professor David Munro, he gave us great ideas for Kinross. He's Mr. Kinross. There's lots of stories about the local area, and archaeology and all sorts of things. Very, very talented man. I didn't know a lot about the whole area, Lochleven. And the great part of doing the films was obviously because you come across as an expert when you're, on camera talking about it, but you've got a lot to learn as well, which is great. I love knowing, finding out more things. So I didn't know, for instance, this is terrible, maybe lots of people maybe know this, but I didn't know that the Lochleven itself had the water level had been lowered. They were controlled in order to create more farmland. There was a big cut made at the end of the loch, a big river, and a sluice system controls the water levels of the loch. And this was amazing to me. This happened around the 1830s, and it was just a really, it was in order to, as I say, to get more land. I mean, they actually thought about draining the entire loch. It's a very shallow loch, and in fact, just really innovative and remarkable feat to reduce the water level and gain more ground. And of course, sluice systems still operate in this area, because these control the levels for bird life now on the loch. Because we spoke then, we went out into doing a wee bit of natural history, because we spoke to the RSPB on that film, and we were also allowed, as I say, to film on the loch itself. Historic Scotland let us take a boat out ourselves and film going over to the island where Mary Queen of Scots, of course, was imprisoned on the ancient castle there. So that island relates to Kinross House in an amazing way, and I'm not going to tell you what it is because people will have to look at the film to find out. But it's a wonderful story about how the architecture of Kinross House relates to the island and the castle. And if you see the film, so these are great stories about Kinross, and lots of them I didn't know myself. And that's again that partnership working with people in the sector who are already there and who know their own area. So it was a good way to promote it for everyone.
No, it definitely sounds like a lot of fun. So did you meet like a lot of people when you were doing all this
It
filming?
was great. I mean, it's not like work at all. It was just great fun. And I would say Pete and Kelly worked much harder than me. They had the technical stuff to do, and a lot of waiting around. For instance, at Lochleven, we filmed on the glider centre is there, So that means that when you're in the Lochleven area, you're aware all the time of aircraft noise, all the little aircraft taking the gliders up. But that's a bit of a devil for continuity. If you're filming in one bit and then you have glider aircraft noise and then don't. So we had to, with lots of wee breaks and things, and we often had to adjourn to a local cafe, very important when you're filming. And of course, after all the filming, there's all the hard work really. There's the editing, and then Kelly and Pete had to come in, Kelly particularly, to capture images, and indoor filming of our resources, things that we were referring to in the films. She would come in and film maps and take images of objects and documents and things like that. And I wasn't needed for that. that kind of thing. But then we were able to do all that work too. So yeah, it's quite a lot went on with it, but it's great.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things when you do filming, you don't really appreciate how much work goes in behind the scenes to kind of bring everything together.
Really professional.
Mm-hmm. So can you tell me a bit about the Highland Perthshire film then?
The Highland Perthshire was one I really wanted to do because I was pretty well acquainted with the area. It's a place, Highland Perthshire is a place I love. I love all these kind of places up a wee bit further north. So I had so many stories I wanted to tell in this film. I didn't get half of them in. But I did a lot of my own research on Jacobites and Scottish noblewomen. You know, we've covered some of those in our other podcasts at Blair Castle. So that was definitely on our list. And they're great partners with us as well. They've worked on other exhibitions with us too. And we had loads of great locations there. The Pass at Killiecrankie, Dunkeld's a very historic town. Burnham too, with the Beatrix Potter Garden. Pitlochry, Aberfeldy, the story of Wade and all the bridges, just great. And just exploring the area in general views, Keith Bank, you know, tried to give a good, it's like a wee tourist promotion as well. They give a good overview of the whole area. So all the general views that you see, you know, are just sort of there so you can hopefully enjoy the real beauty of Perthshire as well, which is very important too to the heritage. So again, we're really telling, you know, history and local stories. And of course, all of these are related to our material in the collections. The films, as I say, are full of images and maps and old postcards and pictures illustrating that. And that's all taken from our archives and our local history collections in general, really.
Mm-hmm. So basically all these films kind of lead you back to the Perth and Kinross archives then.
Well, yep, that was really our plan. So as well as working with our partners and trying to encourage people to explore Perthshire, they were really generally made to inform. And if people are interested and want to know more, or if they've got something they want to share with us, you know, we love that feedback. We love people getting in touch to tell us what we maybe don't know or what's interesting as well. So we're always hoping people will feel that they can use the collections, come in and access the archive, look at our online digital stuff, and engage with the material that we have. And the films, I think, are just a super way to get a wee bit of inspiration that works in more ways than just watching something nice.
Excellent. Right, Nikki, thank you very much for your time. This has been the Culture of Perth and Kinross podcast. I'm David, and that has been Nikki. You can support Culture of Perth and Kinross by donating to the Book Hero campaign. Link is in the description. For just £7, you can help support CPK to become the best it can be for when it reopens. It's currently Local History Month just now, which is May 2020, if you're listening to this sometime in the future. And all the films that Nikki has mentioned in this podcast are linked in the episode notes, so be sure to check them out. Nikki, thanks again, and we'll see you next time.